Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh and I'm Donna. And we have at the table, I have to say, one of my very favorite guests. It's Harold Banicki. And I love having Harold because it really turns into this discussion, this very natural, organic discussion with Pastor and Harold about all the topics that are going through their head. So it's really hard to wrangle in one specific topic. But what got us together today was we had a little bit of a pre-conversation. And one of the things that Harold said was, I worship to see Jesus in the people around me. And Pastor and I just really love that. Like, it's very profound. And so that kind of brought us to the topic of recognizing Jesus in worship. And Harold, I want to throw it to you. Can you tell us a little bit about worship to see Jesus in the people around me? What are you thinking when you say that?
Well, I think I've listened to Pastor's definition of what is the church. And you've talked about it in a earlier podcast. I jotted it down so that I'd have it right. The people of God gathered in Jesus' love. But and of course I agree with that, but I look at, some time ago I came across in Ephesians 1, Paul talks about the church and how it's the body of Christ. And so when you look at the church and the body of Christ, you know, and now as I go along, we've talked about spiritual gifts. I used to think I would perceive that somebody had that gift. Why aren't they using it? And, you know, I'd be pushy, or why doesn't everybody have the gift of hospitality? Why can't we be, every one of us, be friendly to somebody that comes into this church? And I'm learning that, no, God, it's just simply not, we can aim for that, but maybe we don't have that gift. But then, as far as the body of Christ, I really, like, when people lead us in singing, well, in worship, and there's, and by singing last Sunday, it was Brad Husky. Well, really, that's Jesus. Jesus gives him that inclination and that ability to. The person that goes to the front to read to us from Scripture, it's such a, I don't know, it's just a high point. I'm glad to see that it's not just the pastor. And I think that as my life has gone on in the church, I'm coming to understand more and more that each one of us is part of the ministry. The ministry is the term that I use in my head. That Ken Mills, even though he's a very quiet person, I've ushered with Ken. I really like Ken. But Ken Mills is very, very quiet, but he's part of the ministry. He helps make the body of Christ work for the sake of, well, to love, equip, go, for the sake of us. When we go out of the building, we go equipped because of Jesus' love.
It's interesting you say that. Ken is one of our behind-the-scenes people. He works with our...
He's our financial secretary. He's been the only one we've ever had, I believe, for the whole entire history of our church. Like, it's been Ken.
Yeah. And he's so faithful, and he's such
so
a blessing.
Quiet. He's so quiet. I mean, he serves so quiet, and there's so many people that serve quietly. And I think that people serve quietly not for their sake, but for the sake of Christ. What would God have me do?
I want to take us down a rabbit trail just for a second. If you don't mind my asking, how old are you?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Nobody ever says that.
Oh, no. My next birthday, next month, I'll be 80. I've actually been praying to your God, can I make it to 80? It's a milestone. It's on my bucket list, is to live to be 80.
Wow.
And so
I love
I'm
that.
Almost there.
I love the joy that you say that with, not the dread of, oh, she's asking how old I am, but the joy. Yeah. And that's cool to hear. It's a bucket list thing. So happy birthday early. But how long have you been a Christian?
Oh, that's a good question. If I can give a little bit of my background.
I would love it.
As a child, because of my circumstances, whatever the circumstance, that's neither here nor there, but because of my circumstances as a child, I had such guilt for having been born. I felt, what a terrible thing I did. I've made the world a worse place. I wanted so desperately to be able to redeem myself with my parents, and you could never
get there. You always carried that burden.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, you go through life doing the best you can, but anyhow, the long and the short of it is, somewhere I finally came across Jesus. And I found out, I didn't think that, I had the head knowledge because my parents sent me to a Christian day school and I knew about Jesus. And, but I didn't think that God could love me. I didn't think that I could be saved. So I thought I was unredeemable. And somewhere I finally came, God just revealed himself to me and I went through, I think you'd call it a conversion experience, where the light just came on and I, oh, I am saved. And it was really, and then, you know, and then how, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, he says in Matthew. And that's what happened. My life just turned around. I met my wife like the next week, my wife-to-be. I met Vera. And I met her in, of all things, I thought, I'm going to go back to church. And that's actually how it happened. It was through a church that I found Jesus. And so
I found Vera.
Yeah. And I did, went to a Bible class. I thought, I'll really do it up big. I'll go to Bible class. And I did. And who was there but the young Vera Frater King. So, and we met.
So you were in your 20s?
Yeah, I was in my mid-20s.
The reason I ask that is because you said something earlier about, you know, I'm still learning that. I'm still learning. And that lifelong learning, I think we get in our mind as a Christian that we arrive. Like, oh, I got it down. I nailed it. I'm 50. I'm 60. I'm 80. And I nailed it. And I love that you are still learning, and you're learning about the people that God's placed around you, and you're learning about yourself, and you're learning, most importantly, about him. And I just, I don't know, I love that, and I admire that.
I have a friend that I meet with for Bible study quite often, and our little mantra is, in regard to a loving Heavenly Father's, trust me. And so it's how often I stop and think, I just got to trust God. Yeah, it's and it's a hurdle to get over. So somewhere in my life, then subsequently, I found the Bible. So that was, but I read the Bible, but I didn't understand it. I read it perfunctorily. I think I read it for the sake of reading it, but it didn't really sink in. And then, but I think then subsequently through a little bit of counseling and a whole lot of prayer, I found prayer then. I thought I'd go around asking people, well, what is prayer? Or who are you praying to? Or who's out there? Is there anybody receiving? I couldn't get any answers. I was asking around church, you know, what do you know about prayer? So I just started trying it out. I made my little lists, and I was like a little soldier right now, all my little things I had to pray for and people I had to pray for, and kept journals and all that stuff. And it took a long, long time for me to finally realize that, oh, I go to God in prayer not to change God, but to change me, you know, to humble me before the throne of God.
Have you been able, this might be way too personal, if it is, we can move on, but have you been able to go back to the wounds of your birth?
Oh, yeah.
And reconcile and give that to God? And
Forgiveness is a big, you know, it's hard. Because you want to forgive, and you know you should forgive. And that was one of the things that, you know, as part of my own spiritual growth, I knew and grown counseling, you need to do that. And I struggled. I wanted to so bad, and I tried. And then one day when I was reading in Scripture, I read, it's in a psalm, and it's something like, I'm pretty sure it uses the term, a righteous man may stumble, but he will not fall. He'll be held up by the hand of God. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wow, it was almost like another conversion. God just helped me get over that hump, either where it was, you know, I knew in my heart that I had forgiven. You know, I wasn't trying to forgive anymore. I have forgiven.
It wasn't by your own power. It was his.
That, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And now, subsequent to that, now, when you say it wasn't your own power, the older I get, the more I realize it's the person that works the person that works on Ken Mills' heart to serve so quietly is the Holy Spirit. And that's God working in him, or the person that reads Scripture. I really like it when the people go forward and read Scripture to us.
Yeah, I like it when our students do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good, but that's Jesus working in their lives, and they're part of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, we say love, equip, go. Of course, the next step now is we have all this kumbaya, lovey-dovey stuff, the love of Jesus, but now we're going to take it outside the door. I realize that. It can't just stop there.
And that's what we're kind of focusing on in this series of people sharing with us, how are they really living out that one more in Christ? That one more in Christ is a really big deal. It's unlimited, but yet focused.
I see all the bitterness and anger now that's out there because of the past election. There's people that see... I even have, I think, some people very close to me that see me as the immoral for my conservative views because of, you know, I look to Scripture for answers or for clues, and I know that it isn't always painted out exactly. Just for example, women in the pulpit, it's not... Paul didn't come out and say there should never be a woman in the pulpit, but he made it pretty clear. You know, I wouldn't want to risk it. I wouldn't want to go to church. I think God doesn't want a woman in the... Now, somebody could argue some other way with that, but...
I don't disagree with that.
Okay.
You looked over at me and I'm like, no, just because I'm a woman, no, yeah. I don't disagree. I don't feel we're called to that. I have a call in the church, but that's not my call. Nobody wants me on the pulpit saying what I think. We'll leave that to you, Pastor Josh.
Well, yeah, that's a hard call. Yeah, so I want to go back to kind of where we started, and I love all this backstory because this is so helpful to kind of set the stage for this. But I kind of go back to some conversations that you and I had, and then what eventually brought you to kind of make that statement that I come to church because I see Jesus and others. But there's kind of some backstory, right, of that, of you really, and some of this was during COVID and maybe even before, but if you really not seeing the need to come to church. Like, I know my Savior, I know Jesus. It wasn't a question of, do you know Jesus? But it was really a question of, why do I even bother kind of with the people, right? Is that hard to say? And maybe explain a little what that felt like, what that was like.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be honest here. Personally, so one of the, you know, healing takes a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the problems for me with going to church, so I, if it weren't for my wife, I mean, Vera insists we go to church. I mean, we may compromise in a lot of things, but that's one place where we don't compromise, we go to church. But so, I mean, so thank God I had that, because I had a wife that she always encouraged me. She recognized in our marriage that I needed encouragement. I had a wife that encouraged me all the way through. But so that was a blessing in my life. But the reason that I was hesitant to go to church was because if people get to know me, they'll know what a terrible person I am. So I still had something to get over. And finally, I came to recognize that maybe I shouldn't use the word terrible. I should use the word, Paul says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. I finally came to recognize that and say, oh, I get it. But it took me a long time to get it. God's right. Instead, I used to park on that and think, see, even the Bible agrees with me. I am a terrible person. And so so I came to a point in my own walk where I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. I get it. And it's only Jesus. It's only because of Jesus. You used, it's not, I can't remember how you worded it, Donna, but basically it's the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only change through the Spirit working in our lives. So now when I go to church, it's more of a delight. I look forward to it. I look forward to the fellowship and to where, how God's working in your life and Donna's life and everybody's life in there. And we're all part of God's, you know, in Him we live and move and have our being. That's all of us.
It sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds to me like you struggled with your value. God brought you to a place where you were able to forgive through His power, His strength. You worked through some other things, and now as you come back, it's helping others almost to see their value. The value that you struggled with for so long, you found, and now you really have this deeper desire to help others see their value. Is that?
Yeah, I think if anything, if I don't know if it's a gift, it's a blessing. I realize, you can imagine, I probably was not encouraged as a child in any way, shape, or form. I was only condemned. That's all I saw was condemnation. I see how important it is to encourage people for me to say, gee, Don, it's important to me to see, gee, Don, I see you're getting the welcome wagon ready at church or whatever, good for you, or pastor. But not just you and pastor, not just the full-time church workers, but all the other people that are the arm or the eye or the ear of the body of Christ, that they need encouragement. So on Sunday morning between services, I enjoy that time, that banter, and to see, maybe to talk to Ty and ask him, you know, how is your prayer group going, or what can I talk to somebody else and then remind them that we have a prayer group, or yeah. Did you want to go to men's Bible study? Men's, you know, we really, this men's group we have on Saturday morning, really a nice group of people, and we want to encourage other men to join that. I don't know, so.
Yeah, and it's almost your desire to see, like, so this idea that I go to church to see Jesus in others, I love it, because it's almost like your desire to see Jesus in others leads you to have these conversations, and you're fed with it abundantly. And there's almost I want to see Jesus in others, so I got to have conversations to see where that is. But I think it ends up with what we feel on the receiving end of it. And we've talked glowingly about how you care about us as staff and check in, but it's almost you want to see Jesus in others, so you end up by default building other people up. And it's not like that you set out that, oh, I'm going to build this person up and make their day. You just want to see Jesus in others, but you end up building people up. That's the way I receive it. But yeah, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's almost like because God, because of spiritual gifts, why should I keep denying that and saying, Lord, I'm not gifted for, that's, I hate to use the term, but that's stupid.
Yeah. You can say it, yeah.
Okay. And God's starting to knock on my door and say, you know, that's dumb. Mm. Just go ahead and just enjoy the fact that God maybe can use me and just be joyful. Well, thank you, Lord. I get to do that. I get to be part of that. It's a joy to be part of seeing somebody grow a little bit for the sake of Christ.
My Harold Beneke story is, I was in a meeting with you a few years ago, and it was a challenging, it was a hard meeting, and a couple of days later, out of nowhere, you called me, and you said, I just want you to know I'm praying, and you didn't ask a whole lot. You just wanted me to know that. And we don't get that a lot on staff. We don't always get that follow through after something's happened. And I just value that so much. It made me feel seen. It made me feel cared for. The love that you and Vera pour back in your care for people is just outstanding. And I'm so thankful for that, and for you as a part of our church living that out so powerfully, because I think that helps people to overcome whatever pain they've had in their past that you experienced so early on. Different, but maybe the same.
Yeah. I guess, so you have to recognize. So some people irritate me, and even people in the church occasionally.
Never.
And so I like those challenges when God, because then God kind of taps me on the shoulder and said, you better turn that finger around and look at yourself. You know, or the other thing that's it's healing for me is I'll ask myself, why does that person irritate me? And, you know, and they may still, in a way, we may disagree in our approach to things or something, or maybe that person is loud and I don't like loud people or whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know, those little picky things. So be it. That's how that person was knit together, because God knit me together with a lot of, that's, if I can, when it's talking about knitting together, in Paul in Ephesians says that you're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. I think, oh, that's how God put me together. Well, I reached it, but that's also how God, maybe, they were just somebody, because of their somebody else's background experiences, God has put them together that way, his workmanship.
Yeah, I think it's interesting biblically, like, there's kind of two ways we talk about joy. There's the joy we have in Jesus because of our salvation. But then sometimes the other part of joy that we miss is there's joy in the being Christ for other people, right? And so that's what I, you know, it's been interesting to, you know, watch your journey, to walk with you. And I find you, you know, more joyful in this new season. And it's almost to me that it's not, you worked through all the joy of the salvation in Jesus, but now like your joy's gone to another level as you begin to see, oh, I've got a part in this mission, a part in God's kingdom, a part in pouring into other people, a part
purpose.
It's the joy and purpose. That's a great way to say it. Yeah, talk about that. Like, do you, you know, do you agree, disagree? Like,
no, I agree, because, you know, I've tried, if you listen to our podcast number 41, I think it is, it talks about trying stuff. Well, I tried the church council. I've tried ushering. I've tried different things, and those are fine. And I was happier in all of them, or any of them. What are things that I've tried? But I'm trying to find out, well, where does God want me in this, and how can I act according to Christ? You know, what's your will, dear God? And just show me the way.
Yeah, and you seem to find your sweet spot in the encouragement, in the teaching by the Bible. Like, you and I had the conversation, you do the same thing that I do, or I told you to do the same thing I do. I keep a pencil and a paper by the side of my bed, because sometimes the ideas for sermons come to you at the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And like you talk about, you just wake up and you start working on your Bible studies in the middle of the night.
And
but you found joy in that.
That's where retirement is a blast, because you can get up at 3 in the morning or 2 in the morning and do some work, and then go back to bed and maybe take a nap later to catch up on the hour of sleep you missed, or 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, but you can, and that, like, you might be thinking that, and you're like, that sounds awful. But you should see the look on Harold's face. We don't have video, but you should see the look. It's just glowing. You're just glowing as you're talking about being up at 2 o'clock writing Bible study, which just sounds like torture to me. But like, for you, your face is just glowing. Like, this is what I get to do for God, which is so cool to see.
If I wake up at 3 in the morning, I'm getting cookies and milk and going back to bed. So that sounds way more productive.
Yeah. No, so I really like that. And like I said, somewhere I found scripture and I read it, I think the word is perfunctorily, but now I'm learning to read scripture to see, what is God saying to me? And what were the, R.V. Arnold gave me a book on the history of Paul. I can't remember what the exact title of it is. I read it twice, because it really opened, understanding how the Paul's travels and Paul's missionary journeys and where Paul went and the afflictions that he experienced. Really, and then you read in the book of Acts, and it means so much more. Or now when I read Paul's epistles, they just come alive to me, because I understand Paul the person. And now what I'm trying to do when I read scripture is understanding the recipients of the letter. What were they experiencing?
So I hate to shut you guys down. I hate to do that, but I got to kind of bring us to like an end point. And I want to do that by asking this question, Harold. This is a podcast for leaders. That's our goal, is to raise up leaders, help build them up, help send them out. What are your words to leaders on the whole thing of recognizing Jesus in worship? And maybe that comes from your earlier days of that pain, or as people work through forgiveness, or just being that encouragement of seeing the best in people and what God's put in them that's unique. But what is it that you really want to leave our leaders with?
So the people that you work with, the people that are in your committees, or, you know, if you're heading up a committee or if you're on a committee, to remember that each one of the people in the committee, or everybody that they come into in church, as far as that matter, we're all God's workmanship. And God has given us, he just molded us together and has created each one of us in a unique way. And so sometimes when we look at the people that we work with in the church, we see their flaws. Maybe recognize the fact that maybe that's how God put them together. Maybe they're a little short with you or something. Well, maybe there's a good reason for that. And to be long-suffering and to be, I guess, to be forgiving and loving for the person that you work with.
Yeah, and it's almost to look for the good in them and find joy when you find it, right? I think that's what you do so well. You look for the good in people, and then you have joy when you find it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, is that...
Thank you. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
And that's not only a message for people that we encounter in the church. It's the same message for people outside of the church, that one more in Christ who God's put in front of you. It's seeing their blessing and their gifts also, and helping them to realize them.
Thank you. That's a good one, Donna, to realize that this is a strength that God has given to you, even though it's I don't think I'd be comfortable if I had to go and read the epistle lesson. I would do it if I were asked, I suppose. And I'm not asking for an invitation.
He's not
volunteering. But I appreciate so much that the men and women will go, or children will. There have been children that have gone and they've rehearsed. You can see they're well practiced. That they've mother and dad have worked with them, make sure that they can read that epistle well. And so, that's
wherever
what I'm trying
you
to
are.
Say. Yeah, yeah.
Wherever you are, God is giving you something.
And God is using, and they're being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah. Well said, Harold.
Yeah, and I think that that's so cool to look with intentionality to the people around us to see how God's working in their lives. I think sometimes we miss that in community. We see community as, well, I've got to serve them or I've got to do that. But like to look, to just slow down and have the joy of seeing God use other people. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I go back to your original quote, I worship to see Jesus and the people around me. And that gift, to be able to see that special something, that's a gift in itself. Yeah. Harold, thank you so much. I hate to close this, but we'll probably sit and talk for another hour after this is over. But thank you so much for being with us, Harold. Thank you for joining us, and have a great day.